Good morning, everybody. First, I want to thank Eric for letting me lead the call. Today, I'm going to talk about how to turn fear into fuel. You know, the faster that we acknowledge fear, the faster the fear will disappear. And if you ever wonder if you're stuck on something or you know, you're working on a project and it's not just going the way that maybe some other projects or things that you've worked on have gone, if you wondered, I'm going to throw out some identifiers that could point to fear. You know, are you experiencing frustration or stagnation? You know, you feel like you're stuck with something. Or procrastination. You're thinking, well, I should do that, but this over here looks more important. You know, but you started the original project sooner, you know. Are you irritated? You're feeling some irritation about something you might be working on. These might be some identifiers. You know, and ask yourself, do you have experience with what you're doing? A day, a decade, or more? Sure, you've got experience. Do you have confidence? Whether you have a day, a decade, or more of experience, you've got some confidence. So yeah, you're confident. You've got some confidence to work with. And do you have fear with what you're doing? Well, I'd say that there's a level of fear that flows or balances out with the level of confidence and experience that we have. For example, 25 years ago, I started cold calling for the very first time, going door-to-door, business-to-business cold calling. And that first time that I went out cold calling, I drove into the area, and I parked my car, and I sat in the car, and I argued with myself for an hour about getting out of the car. You know, Will, just get out of the car and go open that door. Well, that was an internal argument, and that was fear, because it was the first time I'd gone cold calling. I had very little experience. I had almost no confidence. I had to break through that. In fact, the confidence that I had in that moment was that I knew that there were other people in the sales training class for the company that I was working for that were out cold calling. And I knew that they'd been cold calling for a while, so I knew that they went out, they made contacts, they came back, they followed up with a phone call, they set an appointment, they went out and made a sale, and then they came back with a contract and a check, and they were alive. So I knew that there could be success there. It was all me. I was the variable in that component. Now, I'm going to break the rest of this down into one of Eric's distinctions: inner game, outer game, and action. I'm going to start with the outer game. The outer game is our external skills. We learn how to build trust and rapport, talking to people, finding the need, figuring out how to fill that need for that person or the prospect or whoever we're working with. We work on our product knowledge or our service knowledge. We know what we're offering. We get really good at that. That's external. We work on our communication skills, listening, asking questions, rephrasing what we've stated so that we can remake our point and hopefully get that person we're talking to understand what we're communicating. Because you can read a person's body language and facial expressions to tell you that they understand what you're saying and they're coming along for the ride. They're buying into what you're saying. Well, that's all outer game. The inner game, that's in our head. It's within the 6 inches that controls everything else. Now, you can get good at your outer game and take some action. And your actions could have positive results as well as, you know, not so positive results. But there's a level of result in our action that's going to be seriously contingent on the inner game. So as a leader, which we all are leaders, we're all on this call, we're all always doing something on a daily basis to improve ourselves, exampling leadership. Well, the former CEO of General Electric, Jack Welch, he gives, I've got 3 points from Jack. He calls them baseline leadership givens. What's a given? You know, gravity is a given. You step off a bridge, you're going to fall. That's gravity. That's a given. It's a given. You know, you stick your hand in the fire, it's going to get burnt. That's a given. So here's some leadership, baseline leadership givens from Jack Welch. A leader has integrity. A leader has intelligence. A leader has emotional maturity. Well, those three givens are inner game givens. Integrity, intelligence, and emotional maturity, that's inner game. How you act, what you know about yourself, and how you manage your emotions, that's inner game. That's how I'm working from within myself and controlling my outer game, my presence, my posture. Essential leadership traits. It's another category from Jack Welch. They're not the baseline givens like gravity, but they're very important, essential traits. Leaders have positive energy, ability to energize others. They have an edge, the ability to make tough calls, to say yes or no, not maybe. The edge is to make tough calls. They have talent to execute. They can read a situation, make a tough call, and take an action. They get things done. They have passion. They care deeply. Sweat equity. They have sweat equity. They put sweat equity into what they're doing. They believe. Do you believe? Belief is an inner game. Caring deeply is an inner game. Having positive energy. Just being on this call, desiring to start your day with something that's going to move you towards your goals, like this call, consistently. That's an inner game. You've made a decision. Then, so how does confident act? You're a leader. You've got these characteristics. You've got baseline leadership givens. You have integrity, intelligence, emotional maturity. You have essential traits of a leader. You've got positive energy, and you know how to increase your positive energy. You understand that when you're slipping and your energy is slipping, and then your effectiveness, your ability to energize others, which is what we do when we're communicating with a prospect, is we're energizing them. We're pointing them to a solution that they've communicated to us because we've queried, we've asked questions about what they need, they've told us, we're pointing them to a solution. They get excited, don't they? I see them get excited all the time. Like, wow, okay, we're going to get this done. And look at that price, wow. So we're leading people along. So how does confident act? Well, based on the level of fear that you may have in a certain area or in a new situation, confident acts like this. Confident looks at what the hurdle may be, what the risks are that may be involved, and decides based on past experiences, whether it's a day, a decade, or more, you can move from your past experiences. You can use your past experiences, and you can take that fear, you can identify it, because when you acknowledge it, when you identify it, it's no longer in your blind spot, so now it's something you can work on. If it's something you can work on, it becomes constructive. There's an analogy that I recently heard, the pie of life. Take your favorite pie, slice it up into normal-sized pieces, how you'd slice a pie, and then label them with me. One of them is experience. One of them is confidence. One of them is fear. The others can be other components of our personalities and skill sets, but if one of those pieces is fear, well, they're part of the pie. They're part of your life. Fear is part of your life, and the level of fear is based on your experience and your confidence. So what do we know? If it's part of our life, if it's a hand or it's a foot, we're not going to get rid of it. We live with it. We accept it. We deal with it, and we move through it. So when you put fear, you acknowledge fear, you put it into the limelight, it's no longer in your blind spot, you can work with it, and you can work through it. And if you accept it as part of your life, then it becomes a fuel instead of an anchor. It becomes something you can use to hone your skills, to identify your weak areas. That's what training is all about. That's what learning how to do something new is all about. So the key component with recognizing fear, or one of the key components, is risk. How much risk do you feel like you're taking? If you're taking risk, you're going to experience fear, because usually risk comes with low experience. It's something new. We don't feel like we're risking if we've been doing something for 10 years because we've got it down. We understand. It's not something new that scares us anymore. So we can move through it. Well, here's my personal experience on this. I've had a telecommunications business for 23 years, and I'm really good at prospecting and setting appointments. I've made a lot of prospecting calls and set a lot of appointments. But when I decided to start my coaching business this year, it was a new area. It was a risk. I had to look back and at my experiences, my past successes. The interesting thing is, when I started my coaching business, I started working on my outer game. What am I presenting? What am I offering? What are the packages I'm going to put together and help people through their challenges? How am I going to deliver successful products and services? You know, all of the outer game components, communicating about to a coaching prospect is different than communicating to somebody who's buying a phone system. You know, and so I had to learn those skills, hone my skills. I had a lot of them, but I had to adjust them. I had to refine them for the new product, the new service, which is coaching. So I didn't realize this until I posed a question on a conference call with Eric, that, you know, I was frustrated, and why does this keep coming, or how can I overcome this? And so what I want to share with my experience is what Eric responded with. Resistance is natural. That was the first point. Resistance is natural. If resistance is natural, then it's part of the pie. If it's part of our pie of life, then guess what? It's our friend. It's a benefit. Because if we identify fear, we can move through it. It becomes a fuel instead of a blockade. You know, then the other thing is, I need to accept my own genius, my own greatness. And I'm a genius in a lot of areas of my life. Well, I'm a dork in some of them, but that's okay. You know, I'm human. But I'm a genius, and I've got greatness in certain areas of my life that I've honed, that I've been doing for a long time, because I have a passion, I care deeply, I put in the sweat equity, and I believe that I can accomplish. And so in this new area where I'm taking risks, stepping out in an area where I haven't had as much success, the fear is I won't get hired. But that's not true, because I got hired in January. Somebody hired me to coach them. So I have to look back on my own experiences and decide, hey, I've got a new risk. You know, I ride motocross. That's my hobby. Well, I kick that bike over, and it's running, and I go out on the track. There's risk at every corner. Well, if I'm willing to risk out there, what's the risk here? Really, what's the risk? I pick up the phone and somebody says, no, Will, we don't want you to come in and do a presentation. There's no risk in that, so I have to accept the fact that I have success and I just need to go through the numbers and take action. So that's what I want to leave you with. You've got a goal. Identify the fear by looking at the result that you want, which is your goal. You want that goal? If you're not getting it, humble yourself to identify and overcome those identifiers, frustration, stagnation, procrastination, irritation, any other one that you can think of, because you have experience, you have a level of confidence, and you can overcome any fear you face. You can turn it into fuel. I'll leave you with that. Have a fantastic day. It's great to be on the call with you. Thanks for listening.